Let's pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. The epistle reading today is from John's first letter. Dear friends, let's love each other, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent His only Son into the world so that we can live through Him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we ought also to love each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love each other, God remains in us, and His love is made perfect in us. This is how we know we remain in Him, and He remains in us, because He has given us a measure of His Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If any of us confess that Jesus is God's Son, God remains in us and we remain in God. We have known and have believed that the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. This is how love has been perfected in us, so that we can have confidence on the judgment day, because we are exactly the same as God is in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear expects punishment. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. After all, those who don't love their brothers or sisters whom they have seen can hardly love God whom they have not seen. This commandment we have from Him: those who claim to love God ought to love their brother and sister also. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson this morning is from John, the 15th chapter, the first 8 verses. Let's listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit, and He trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. If you don't remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for anything, whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified when you produce much fruit, and in this way prove that you are my disciples. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There were two words that left off the page as I read the scripture and began to work on this message for this week. Fruit and remain or abide. Let's explore these words and see what God might want us to hear. The New Testament is laced with the word fruit. But the passage for today mentions the word seven times. And that is important to those numerologists. What I want you to do is to get a mental picture of fruit. Fruit trees. Think of trees hanging low with fruit. Because three of the references today talked about much fruit. Imagine picking one of those pieces of fruit and biting into it. Imagine the juiciness of it. Ooh, the sweetness. The explosion of taste in your mouth. Now that's fruit. But is that what the Bible is saying in these passages? Yes? No? Maybe? So then, what is fruit? The New Testament does not give us an actual definition of the word. But by reading the Gospel of John, we know that fruit is symbolic of the love of Christ, the attitudes of Christ, and the actions of Christ. Now, Paul tells us in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Nine of them. Nine glorious virtues that sweeten life for all those who give and for those who receive. Fruit is so good, so tasty, so flavorful. The same is true with those nine fruits of the Spirit. The sweetening of life. Think again about that fruit tree you were imagining just a minute ago. So laden down that the branches bend low. That's what God wants our lives to look like. The Lord God wants us to produce much love. Attitudes of love and actions of love. We all get the basic idea. We all get the allegory that Jesus used. Good fruit trees produce good fruit. Whether it be apples, peaches, pears, cherries, oranges, whatever. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to produce much fruit. There are a lot of branches on a tree. There is never one branch, but a number of branches on a tree. We who are in Christ produce much fruit. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Now, this is one of the seven I am's sayings in the Gospel of John. You'll recall some of Jesus' I am teachings, such as last week's I am the good shepherd. You can visualize and imagine Jesus as being a good shepherd, being the other I am. Each of these sayings teaches us something different about Jesus. I am the vine teaches that Jesus Christ is the energy and sustenance that produces fruit or acts of love in our lives. Jesus is the true vine. Now, there are other vines that we human beings are deeply interconnected with and from which we draw life and energy. But these are not the true vines. Such untrue vines can be our jobs, our country, our team, our city, our recreation, our hobbies, and even our families, and maybe even our church. The gospel text does not focus on false vines, but simply says that Jesus is the true vine. Many times in the New Testament, Jesus talks about and warns people about the Pharisees and the Sadducees living lives that did not produce good fruit. These bring to mind the tomato plants that are very full of green leaves but have no tomatoes on them. Just a real disappointment. We want tomato plants to raise tomatoes, not simply to be green bushes. Some people, like the Pharisees, have lives that are like those tomato plants, all showy and green, but no fruit. They tithe, they read their Bibles, and they show up for church. But they don't produce any attitudes and actions of love toward God or their neighbors. Jesus says that out of love, God will prune every branch. And since we are the branches, every Christian experiences a pruning back, if you will, by God. Even if our lives as Christians are bearing fruit, God will prune our lives back so that we can bear more fruit. Now, many of you know that suckers take energy from the plant but produce no fruit. And so we prune them out. There are many influences in our lives which do not produce the sweet fruit of love, kindness, and justice. Jesus says that those unhealthy routines and relationships need to be pruned back so that our lives are more productive of love and goodness. Now, I haven't much time to talk about remain or abide, but it's important to look at that word when we talk about being in Christ. The word remain or abide means live. It also has a lingering quality. To live in Christ and Christ to live in us. This relationship is often called mutual indwelling. Christ lives in us and we live in Christ. So energy flows from one to the other. Jesus says, the branch is in the vine, and the vine is in the branch. Our lives as Christians cannot produce fruit unless our nourishment comes from the vine, from Jesus Himself. The only way to produce fruit is to be connected to the vine. Energy and sustenance flow through the vine to the fruit. As human beings, we know what happens to a branch that is ripped off of a tree but left to hang there on that tree. The leaves wither and die. Why? Because the branch is not fully attached to the tree. Jesus wants us to bear much fruit, wants us to be unusually productive in our Christian life. This only happens when we are grafted into Christ and live in Christ, and then His energy flows through our love and our compassion. When our emotions are in Christ, and when our thoughts are in Christ, when our actions are in Christ, we produce much fruit of love. And our lives are intertwined with Christ. So, let me ask you this question. How do we glorify God? We glorify God not primarily by going to church and singing hymns and saying our prayers, not primarily by talking the Christian talk. The primary way we glorify God is by bearing much fruit. God is glorified when we bear much fruit and are loving and compassionate. When we are in and abide with Christ, and Christ is in and abides with us, energy flows from Christ to us, whereby we produce an enormous abundance of love. Friends, this is the fruitful life. Let us pray. Jesus, You are the true vine. We grow when we are intertwined with You. Keep us ever in Your tree of life. Sustain us. Feed us. Teach us. Help us to be true to Your love. We ask this in Your name. Amen.